Shepherd, speaking Sarah M.
from Savannah region.
How you doing? I'm Sarah Manetic.
Sarah.
I'm going to set the stopwatch on my phone real quick. I'm not texting. I don't play that stuff. I'm really humbled to be here. I don't go looking for these opportunities, and I'm always a little perplexed whenever I get the calls. You know, a little perplexed, but at the same time really grateful that somebody thought of me. I'd be lying if I, you know, didn't tell you I was. I always get anxious about this. I know you guys love me. I've been here for a little while, and you guys have showed me a lot of love in the time that I've been here, but there's a lot of people looking at me right now, and you know, I'm human, and this is, you know, if you've never been in this position, this is a tough position to be in sometimes, you know. It's a tough position to be in, so I'm going to do the best I can with what I have to offer. The topic, from what I understand, is, am I the solution or am I the problem? I'm both at any given. that's real simple. We can, you know, that's pretty much the answer to that question. My home group is the Solution Seekers group of Narcotics Anonymous. we have some home group members here. And we get together once a week on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock in Winchester, Virginia, to seek solutions. And that really is what we do. I love my home group. We seek solutions through the steps and through asking for help. And that's what I've been taught we're supposed to do here. You know, our format is the step of the month. And then the second part of the format, because, you know, sometimes in a small area like that, people don't have experience on the 8th or 9th or 10th step. So the second part of the format is, or what is affecting your recovery today and how we can help. So my home group is very much focused in the solution, and I love it. You know, I feel at home there, and I feel at any given day I can go in there, and my home group members don't have expectations on me. If I tell them that I'm struggling with honesty or I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z, they're loving, and they accept me for where I am, and they help me get to the solution, you know, without judgment. And that's what we do around here. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I thought that my problem was a drug problem. And part of my problem was a drug problem, but that was only a small part of the bigger problem. I didn't know that until I did some work around here. Though, you know, I came here and I thought that my problem was a chemical problem, and I thought that the solution to the chemical problem was to remove the chemicals. That made sense to me, but you guys taught me that my problem was spiritual in nature, and the solution to that problem was the steps, which are also spiritual in nature. So I stuck around and I heard that, and you know, I didn't have a difficult time when I got here admitting that I was an addict or realizing that drugs were a problem for me. That wasn't a struggle for me. I knew when I ended up homeless, I knew I'd been through the denial. I'd been through blaming everybody else for my problem. I'd been through all that stuff before I even got here. I remember wanting to sincerely stop using with everything in my body. I was tired. I just wanted to stop, but I didn't know how. And I remember that. I remember trying to detox myself and it not working. And me, you know, I'm high again in a couple hours. You know, I remember those things. So it wasn't a struggle for me when I got here to understand that drugs were a problem for me. So once I understood that, my ears became open. And from the first meeting in detox, you know, I heard those readings and I knew for the first time in my life, I'd been to other institutions, I'd been to, you know, religious communities, and I'd seen some of that stuff, but the readings that I heard from the very beginning here, I knew that this was the place for me. I knew there was something special about this and I knew that I fit in here, you know, and I knew that you guys understood my problem. You know, it took me a little while to develop the hope and the faith that, you know, something could be done about my problem. But I believed you guys when you said you understood my drug problem at the time. You know, so when I landed here, my ears were open. I wanted it to stop. You know, I just wanted it to stop. For the first time in my life, I knew that there was a way out of that hell that wasn't death. And I didn't know that before I got to NA. I remember being out there and hating every second of every day and everything I was doing to myself and everything I had to do to get the next drug. I hated myself. And I just wanted it to stop, but I didn't know how to make it stop. And the only way I knew out was death. And I remember wishing that on myself all the time. And I'm so glad that I'm one of the very fortunate ones that was lucky enough to make it here. You know, I didn't stay clean from my very first meeting. I went out after being here for about 3 months, and I came back with my tail between my legs. You know, I remember being out there and saying, there is another way out of this. I remember that there was another way out, and I came running back here. And I was serious, man, and I'm still serious about my recovery. I have fun, and I joke around with my friends, and we have a good time. But I'm serious about my recovery. I was then, and I am now. And I remember coming in, and I found, you know, I looked around, and I found out who was serious about their recovery, you know, who was staying clean, who was working a program, who had something that I wanted, and I grabbed onto their coattails, and I followed them. You know, I developed the courage to speak to some people I didn't know and ask them for help. And that's something I've never done in my life before. I don't know if help was available to me before I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know, because I never tried. You know, I just knew that I was a one-person show and I had to take care of me. And asking for help was a very unnatural thing for me to do. But when I was broken enough, I became willing to ask for some help. You know, so I asked you guys for some help, and when they said sit on the front row and grab a reading, it didn't matter how nervous or scared I was, I sat on the front row and I grabbed a reading, you know, and when they said show up a half an hour early and help set up chairs, I showed up a half an hour early and helped it, because I was that, you know, I was that desperate. I wanted this thing that bad, you know, and I still want this thing that bad. You know, so the solution to my drug problem, you guys had it all along. I just didn't know it. You know, so when I got here and I found out that you guys had the solution, all I had to do, I didn't have to figure it out. I didn't have to think about it. All I had to do was open up my ears and listen to what you guys had been doing and follow behind you and do the same things. If I was taught early on, if I want what someone else has, I have to do what they did to get there, you know, and I believe that, you know, there's no shortcuts for me in my recovery today. I want this thing, you know. After working the first step, the first step tells me that once I put a drug in my body, I lose control. All bets are off. I no longer have a choice over anything once I put a drug in my body. And once I got a thorough first step, I didn't have a drug problem anymore, you know. The first step worked. I got it. You know, I can't use drugs. That doesn't mean I can't have a drug problem again, because at any given second I can forget what I learned and I can go back there. But once I worked a thorough first step, the drug problem wasn't my problem anymore, you know? And that in itself was more than I could have ever imagined when I got here, you know? I remember, I told you, I remember sincerely wanting to stop using and not knowing how. So getting here and just, you know, taking care of the immediate problem, like stopping the bleeding on the immediate problem that was going on, was more of a miracle than I ever could have asked for. There's a line, I think it's in The Living Clean, and it talks about when we say don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle, we're not just talking about the first one. And that's powerful to me. There's been a lot of miracles since I worked my first step. You know, there's been a lot of miracles since I worked my first step. I'm so glad that you guys picked me up and scooped me up like you did when I came here, and you nurtured me, and I showed a willingness, and you extended your hands to me. You know, after I worked my first step and I began staying clean for a little while, my first year clean was chaotic. I'm not going to lie. You know, there were problems constantly, and all of them were self-created. There were no, you know, storms, you know, that were out of my control. It was all stuff I was doing to myself. You know, I just didn't know any better at the time. You know, nobody ever taught me that stuff. I didn't know how to treat myself. You know, and when I treat myself a certain way, other people are going to reciprocate and treat me the same way. I didn't know any of that stuff. Nobody ever told me that. You know, so my behavior was kind of out of control during the first year. It wasn't the big, huge stuff anymore. I wasn't stealing big, huge things, and maybe I was stealing little things still. it's been a long time, though. It's been a long time since I did, but maybe during the first year. I was still creating a lot of chaos in my life during that first year, though. And I remember my first sponsor saying to me that one day that stuff was going to catch up with me. And I didn't know what she was talking about. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been doing this stuff my whole life. It's fine. You know, I have the drug problem. That's taken care of. I'm happy with that. I'm really grateful for that. So I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to keep showing up for my home group and stuff. And I'm going to creep right on the steps because you guys tell me I better do that or I'm going back out. So I remember her saying that to me, and I seriously was perplexed. I did not know what she was talking about. And what I came to find out was that as I stay clean, I developed a conscience. And I started to care about myself a little bit more, and I started to care about you guys a little bit more. There was no more hiding from my emotions. You know, part of getting clean and staying clean is learning how to grow up and how to deal with our emotions. And that's something I always had a problem with before. You know, I remember the very, very first time I used. It wasn't at a party and peer pressure and to look cute and all that kind of stuff. It was because I was in a really ugly situation as a child, and I knew where the alcohol was kept, and I went by myself and used for the first time. You know, so from the very first time for me, it wasn't about fun. It was about getting rid of the pain. You know, so when I stopped using drugs, I had to learn how to feel pain for the first time in my life. You know, I had to learn how to deal with the shame and the guilt that I had brought in here with me, and that I was continuing to create while I was in here during my first year clean. You know, I was doing the same stuff. I was doing the exact same stuff. I was mistreating my body. I was winding up in bad situations with people that didn't give a rat's ass about me, you know, because I didn't know any better. You know, attention, that, you know, compulsive, obsessive, attention-seeking behavior, you know, I just wanted what felt good in the second. You know, I'd never in my life thought about consequences before. Who cares about consequences? I thought about the next one and the next one, and that behavior carried with me when I came into the rooms. You know, I didn't think about 3 months down the road, am I going to feel like crap about this? I didn't think about tomorrow, am I going to feel like crap about this? I thought about, you know, what feels good right now. And that landed me in some trouble and caused me a lot of problems in recovery. So one thing I was not willing to do, though, was get high. I was not willing to get high no matter what drama or what pain I caused myself. And I remember being really embarrassed at times and really shameful and really guilty of my behaviors. But I decided that I was going to hold on to my sponsor and I wasn't going to get high no matter what. My changes, me addressing those problems when I got clean early on in recovery, was fully motivated by pain. You know, it was fully motivated by pain. I got to a point where I couldn't, you know, lift my head up in a meeting because I was so ashamed of myself, and I knew that other people knew. I knew that you guys knew. And this was the first place I'd ever been accepted in my life. You know, so my addressing the problems in early recovery was motivated by pain. Through working the steps, I was able to address some of those issues that were going on, change my behavior, and not just change my behavior for me, but change my behavior so that I wasn't causing other people harm too. You know, I've heard people say around here that you can do whatever you want as long as you're willing to accept the consequences. That's crap. That's crap. And I'll tell you why, because there's very few things we can do in this world that don't affect somebody else. You know, and I learned that. I've learned that through working the steps. I've written an 8-step, and I've learned that there's not very many things I've done in this world that haven't impacted somebody else. You know, so I was able to address some of those behaviors. I was able to put a stop to them and to sit on my hands when I, you know, didn't feel like I could sit in my hands. And I got to learn a little bit more about myself. I'm looking at the time, excuse me. I got to learn a little bit more about myself around here. I stuck around and I did some more step work. The 4th step got me to kind of make some sense of some things that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me before. Got me to accept some responsibility where maybe I was still playing the victim in some kind of situations. The 6th step, however, is what really got a hold of me. The 6th step is what really caused some changes and really caused me to understand my problems, because how can I address my problems if I don't understand them, you know? And I did the best I could up until that point. You know, I was serious about my recovery. This thing was important to me. But how can I address my problems if I don't understand them, you know? So when I got to the 6th step, all this stuff kept coming up. My sponsor did a real thorough 6th step with me. I came to learn that I was a people pleaser, and I was insecure, and I was afraid to be abandoned, and I didn't like that stuff. That stuff's embarrassing. I didn't want to be one of those that, you know, got labeled with that kind of stuff, but I found out that I had that stuff too, and I didn't know that before, you know. And I also learned that I didn't have those characteristics because I was a bad person at the core. I had those characteristics, and I believed I had this screwed up perception of the world because of where I had come from and the things that I had told myself to survive along the way. You know, I didn't trust people. I was insecure and felt like if I wanted something in this world, I had to take it. That's a level of insecurity, and I had that because that's the way it was when I was a kid. Like, if I needed something, I had to take it. You know, nobody was just going to give it to me. So, and all of my other defects were the same way. It wasn't that I was a bad person at the core. It was just I did what I had to do to survive, and somehow, you know, those thoughts became second nature to me, and I started acting on them throughout my whole life. Without even realizing what impact they were having. Every time, you know, every time I bailed from a relationship because I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me, you know, I'm just telling you what I did. I'm just not feeling safe and comfortable in this world. And, you know, there must be somebody else because I'm certainly not good enough. You know, these things that went through my head, and I didn't even know they were going through my head because I never slowed down enough to pay attention. I was just bam in the behavior, and how did I get here? You know, and the 6th step allowed me to slow down and get to know myself enough and get to know what was going on with me enough to start to address some of these issues. You know, the 6th step is intense, but I'm telling you, without a doubt, it has made the most severe impact on my ongoing recovery, on my behaviors, you know, because I don't behave the same way in relationships today that I did all the way up until then. You know, my relationships were a wreck. I didn't want anybody near me. 5 minutes, all right? That's great. I was worried about the time. Anyway, continuing on with the 6th step, because I think that relates so much to this topic. You know, I had to get to uncover the problems and to get to see the things that I really believed about myself and about this world that were so impacting my everyday interactions. You know, I couldn't keep a relationship. You know, I wouldn't go back to school. I wasn't willing to do any of these things because of this screwed up perspective that I had. And there wasn't anything wrong with me. It's just I didn't know, and I couldn't address it until I knew. And once I know, then I have a responsibility. You know, the 6th step gives me a responsibility. There's no more, you know, Sarah, people aren't going to give you what you need in this world. You need to take it. It's like, no, that's wrong. You know, there's no more of that. And when it comes up, I know that it's coming up. It gave me a responsibility to turn that stuff over to my higher power if I wanted to get more out of my program and get more out of this recovery process and get the higher level of freedom that we talk about around here. So today we seek solutions. You know, there's a line in the text that says we seek solutions and not problems today. And that's where I am. You know, you're not going to find me. I don't think I'm a person that calls people just to complain. When I call you to talk to you about something, I'm looking for a solution, you know. And I was taught that early on, and after working a 12-step, I learned why you guys taught me that. You know, our meetings and our sponsors and our networks are not dumping grounds. You know, we seek solutions. You know, if I don't want help with it, then why am I dumping it? You know, this isn't a place for me to dump my drama and dump my day and dump my bad boss. You know, that's not what this is. Do you want help? You know, that's what we care about. Do you, what is your problem and how can we help? You know, it's that simple for me, and I learned that around here. And the 12 step taught me that even more. I learned that through you guys before I got to the 12 step, but once I got to the 12 step, that really became a part of me. You know, we seek solutions today, and I'm so glad that you guys invested in me, you know, because that's what you did. You invested in me. You saw me showing a little bit of willingness, and you did the rest, you know, and it's a miracle. It's really a miracle. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I do. I'm absolutely in love with it. This is my home. I don't plan on going anywhere, you know. And I feel very fortunate to be one of the people that made it here. And I love you all. And thank you so much for inviting me out here.